Hello, and welcome to Breast Cancer Conversations, a podcast brought to you by survivingbreastcancer.org. I'm Laura Carfing, breast cancer survivor and founder of survivingbreastcancer.org, a nonprofit organization providing community, education, and resources to empower those diagnosed with breast cancer and their caregivers from day one and beyond. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Breast Cancer Conversations. We are so excited that you are here today. Today's episode is actually content that we are pulling from our open mic poetry night that we held actually just a couple days ago on Friday evening, where a bunch of us from all over the United States and four different continents gathered to recite poetry. It was so beautiful. And so if you would like to join us next time, I think we're going to be holding these poetry open mic nights about once a quarter or so. And big shout out to Deltra James for hosting. So thank you for all of that. Regarding just anything, all things survivingbreastcancer.org, we just got back from the Living Beyond Breast Cancer conference for those living with metastatic disease. It was a whirlwind of a trip down in Philly, but it was so nice to connect with our community members in person, to hug, to see people, to connect, to stay up probably way too late catching up. But it was beautiful to see everyone. So if we got to meet in person, it was amazing. Next up, we are heading to Chicago for the annual ASCO conference. That is the American Society of Clinical Oncology. We will be there end of May, early June. Also, if you're in the Chicagoland area, I am hoping to have some sort of like get together. Would love to meet you if you are around. Date still TBD, but definitely shoot me an email if you're in Chicago. I'd love to meet up with you again, probably last week of May. I can be reached at laura@survivingbreastcancer.org. And if you are new to our podcast, welcome. And if you're new to our nonprofit organization, survivingbreastcancer.org, I would encourage you to check out survivingbreastcancer.org/events, where you can find the latest and greatest in terms of all of our support services and free programs. So let's jump right in to a beautiful evening of poetry. Welcome to the conversation. First up, we have Brookshire McDonald from Raleigh, North Carolina, two-time breast cancer survivor. Welcome.
My poem is entitled, Beyond the Dream. I thought I didn't have words for a poem, but I found out I was wrong. That would have been true if I were writing a song. The write a poem month is now upon us. So with pen in hand, I'll begin without a fuss. SBC has grown rapidly as the years pass by. Now it's time to reveal just exactly why. William and Laura had a dream they wanted to come true. So they embraced many avenues for me and for you. Their plan expanded along the way until it overflowed as recently as today. Thousands have a brighter future as they wasted not a second to spare. Through education, support groups, and advocating, they did share. Everyone has gained much hope to which to cling as additional support they did bring. So to A Boys Write a Poem Month, I would like to add words of happiness that have made us glad. A celebration day to include a thank you too for the works you've done to make your dreams come true. Thank you for your time, your talents, and your vision for all. The dream you had for sure was very tall. William and Laura, I'd like to call this a day of honor for each of you, as we've been witness to your dreams coming true. For those whose lives have benefited from it, we send continued wishes and love that will never quit. Brookshire McDonald, patron saint.
Brookshire is known as our patron saint, having been a two-time breast cancer survivor and has been part of our community for the last 4 years. She is a true gem. And thank you so much for sharing your poetry. That is just so, I'm beclumped.
I will also add that was not pre-planned. I did not send it in. I wanted it to be a surprise. So
I'm surprised. I'm like,
that was so sweet.
It's all from my heart.
All right, Farhana. Welcome to the poet stage. Thank you so much. Can't wait to hear what you got to share.
Okay. This one is called Alas, My Boobs, Adieu. Mm. Never did I think to mind my words that flared from anger and judgment, from the trauma hate fled. I thought he would be safe. It was math I was there to learn. His touch seemed inappropriate, but I too young to discern. I hid them and I covered. I held them both in shame. I resented and rejected. Their size was not the same. But when I became a mother, they owned their natural role. Regardless of my hate, nourishing was their goal. They produced for a year. They did not flinch or fail. They did not disappoint, always ready when my son would wail. A beautiful expression of woman, the ultimate feminine divine. Thank you for all you've taught me. You girls have aged like wine. For now our journey ends. I bid you both farewell. On this next round I vow, a new story I will tell. My heart still holds some grief. Some healing is yet to be. Patience on this journey is what will set me free.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to invite to the virtual stage, Jolie, reciting poetry with us today from New Jersey.
I'm a poet. I've written 3 books. One of them was it was an anthology about breast cancer. Just a little bit about the power of poetry for cancer, but especially breast cancer. When I finished treatment, I was looking for something to heal. And I was writing all through treatment. It's just my way. But I knew I wanted to help other people heal. So I put out a project to put together an anthology, and I was really nervous. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get submissions to put together an actual book. I ended up getting about 120 submissions from 8 different countries.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I donated all of the money from the sales of the book to MediViver, because I just wanted to give back and help people. So I'm so grateful that you're doing this. I think this is so healing and helpful to people. I had no idea that you were doing this before, or else I would have joined before, but somebody sent me, the Instagram post today, actually. So I joined right away. So I'm so thankful. Thank you so much. I'm going to read some prose, which is a little different from poetry. It's more story-like. This is a true story. It's called Hearts in the Sand. In her pale pink chiffon gown, a flower crown in her freshly done-up hair, curly soft tendrils framing her sweet face, she walked down the shell-trimmed aisle toward her hero. Not her first love. Experience and time took that from her long ago. But her eternal love. Her everlasting love. Her last love. And as he watched her, one could tell that he was so proud of her. Not because of her accomplishments or her degrees or her fancy job, but because she made it there. She pulled through. She walked down that aisle by herself. And that was an accomplishment all on its own. And I got to witness it. One of only 5 guests present. Because yesterday, she wasn't feeling well. Yesterday, she got sick at the pool. Yesterday, while we were drinking pina coladas at the pool bar, she couldn't keep down her lunch. So we jumped up and grabbed a towel. Oh my goodness, are you okay? The sun is deadly. You have to be careful, hon. Did you eat something today, dear? And that's when we found out that she had breast cancer. That it had metastasized to her brain. That the cancer cells were found in her spinal fluid, making it hard for her to walk. And she didn't have much time left. That they were in love. And they had run away together to get married before it was too late. That maybe, just maybe, she could get on his medical insurance and they could find a cure. And him being a pilot, they could fly into the sunset and live happily ever after. While I held a cool towel on the back of her neck, the guys went to get us bottles of cold water. We talked that whole afternoon by the pool. We bonded over the medications we take for our nausea. While I didn't have cancer, I suffer from a chronic illness that leaves me with unrelenting nausea, something chemo patients often experience. And she invited us to have dinner with them that night, where we shared drinks and laughed, and I helped her to the bathroom because she suddenly was having trouble walking. That's when they invited us to their wedding the next day. "We want you to come," he said. "We wouldn't have it any other way," she added. "It feels like fate," he cajoled. And we weren't sure if it was too many drinks, the tropical breeze, or something written in the Dominican stars. But at 2 p.m. the next day, we decided to walk down the beach to see them tie the knot. It was our anniversary, after all. How romantic would it be to relive the moment at someone else's wedding? And there they were, just the two of them and the officiant. It couldn't have been more perfect. I was her and she was me in that moment. There was no disease, no worries, just love. We saw the two of them here and there during the rest of our anniversary vacation. She continued to worsen during the trip, not being able to walk or keep a meal down. We exchanged information before they went back to Chicago, and we soon learned that only 2 months after their wedding, she passed away. 1 year later, we went back to that same beach in Dominican Republic, and at 2 p.m. on August 14th, using a stray piece of driftwood, I drew two hearts in the sand with their names in it, to commemorate the miracle of love we saw that day, because that was their beach, would always be their beach, no matter how many footsteps traipse across it, no matter how many couples unite in that same spot on that same day. As far as I'm concerned, that place belonged to them. The next year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I thought a lot about her. How hard it was to put on that pale pink chiffon gown when even the slightest breeze stung my scars. How that flowered crown in her freshly curled hair that framed her sweet face are the same curls that I now have, a parting gift from chemo. I thought about how she smiled through that entire day when she secretly ached. I know that secret ache now. The inability to walk on certain days, to keep a meal down. And while on that beautiful day, she was me, I ask myself today, am I her?
Oh, Julie, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That was incredibly touching, and I was just picturing it all in my mind like a movie. I'm sure we all were.
Welcome, Cindy, if you would like to share next.
Okay, my poem is titled To the Amazons. I will not write of grief today, but of battles fought under pink banners flying, tattered and worn. Breastplates cover tattooed nipples like mighty armor. War paint marks demarcation lines for knife and beam, a pound of flesh sacrificed on a sterile altar. Multicolored skull caps cover slick, bald heads, shade for combat, and secret doors intervenes where magic potions fuel war. Can you hear the savage cries loud and long? There will be no peace talks, treaties, or white flags of surrender. Mighty warriors fight with every grateful breath, three-fourths smiles and weary eyes, gaze into an unknown future, manifesting the day when the victory bell will sound.
Hi, I'm Pooja Jain from New Jersey, and poetry and expressive writing has helped me express myself through words and connect with others as well in a deeper way. And today, the title of my poem is Sleepless Nights. Tossed to your left, tossed to your right. Everything feels tight. Breathe in, breathe out. Slow counts of four. Make a square in the air. Math and numbers always help me zone out. Breathe in, breathe out. Alternate nostril breathing. I have the power within. No pills needed to pop in. It's dark and silence around. I'm trembling, crying. I beg the higher power to calm my fears. Give me courage and shower me with miracle of healing. I asked, why me? Why my family? I heard the voice from within. Because only the deep sea divers find the treasures and solve the mysteries. You and your family can learn to swim together. Be the student of God's night classes. Thank you.
Next up, I would like to invite Evelina from Virginia.
Hey, survivors. My name is Evelina. I'm the author of Healed from Cancer to Survivor, the journey that inspired all. And writing has always been very therapeutic for me, but even more so throughout my journey. In fact, the way that the Lord comforted me through it all was through writing. I stumbled across a blog that specifically for cancer survivors, and I just blogged through it all. And today I'd like to share two of my writing, but I'll start off with one to encourage y'all to know that you can survive this. So the first one is titled In the Middle, and it was written Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. And it says, good morning. I just finished listening to Joyce Myers this morning, and her message for today was, don't give up in the middle. And that, in a way, really hit home for me, because after the lumpectomy, I really did my best to stay strong-minded. Because like Pastor O'Donnell just said, when you allow your soul to stay broken, that gives the enemy the perfect opportunity to take control. So praise God for the strength that he gives me day by day to smile in the midst of my trials. Thank God for the strength to go on. Thank God that I'm not sitting around feeling sorry for myself. And thank God for reminding me that joy cometh in the morning. And thank God that I know that I'm only being used for his glory. Yes, Father, thank you for not allowing me to give up in the middle, because I could have easily turned on you when the report came back with a positive margin, or when the chemo would drain me, or even right now after losing my breast. But Lord, thank you for keeping me afloat and for not letting me give up in the middle. Amen.
I felt like I need to say amen. Like,
thank you.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to welcome Susie from Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks for being here.
Mine is called Survivorship. I don't have time for this, was my first thought as I realized the life that I was so tentatively holding together with scotch tape and dental floss was about to implode. When I say pre-pandemic, I also mean pre-cancer, pre-tectonic shifts in my life that forever changed my physical body, mental health, and future prospects. I've lost all of the physical landmarks of my womanhood, inside and out. My chest deformed, hollows where breasts used to be. Extra flaps of tissue hanging on the side. Side boob was never supposed to look like this. The old me is gone. That girl died, I say. And I don't love this new version yet. 2.0, yet it feels more like 0.5. But maybe one day. Until then, I'll be fanning myself in the corner, shifting my aching joints, trying to feel at home in my body, even if I don't recognize it yet, practicing gratitude and grief in equal measure. Maybe one day this will all feel better. Maybe one day.
After hearing all these amazing poems, I feel so moved to read one as well. This poem is called The Night Train. I wrote it shortly after my own diagnosis with stage 2B invasive ductal carcinoma in 2016. The Night Train. I kissed him goodbye at the train station and boarded the 8 p.m. Accela to New York. I was alone. I was by myself. The aisle seat next to me was empty. It was just me, alone with my thoughts, headphones plugged in to distract. My window reflection stared back at me. My heart raced as the train slowly departed South Station. I was somehow doing it. I was going to visit my brother for a weekend as planned. 48 hours prior, too, I was packing my bags, excited for all the restaurants, museums, and city life, as one should be heading to New York City. The only difference now was that I knew I had cancer. I thought of him and our kiss goodbye, our embrace. He knew that I had cancer. He insisted I stay on plan to visit my brother. No one else knew, not even the strangers that took up residence in the seat beside me. I couldn't mouth the words. They were swimming in my head like a tornado, a whirlwind, a funnel that refused to drain. I could see the words. I heard the nurse's voice as she verbalized them over the phone, but I couldn't believe them. Cancer was floating above my ability to make sense of it all, to grasp the term, to realize what was happening. Literally, before that phone call, I did not know I had cancer, even though malignant cells were thriving inside me. The power of knowing changes everything. The revolving door of strangers ushered on and off the train. It seemed that every stop, a new person would throw his or her bag on the seat next to me, plop down beside me, store luggage overhead. Others took out sandwiches, but I was numb. I was not hungry. I was curious to ask them where they were headed to try and make small talk, but I had no words. I buried myself deep into an oversized hoodie and sobbed silently. Summoning the courage, I went to YouTube to watch a video about breast cancer, from professional clips produced by hospitals to 3D renderings of videos demonstrating how cancer cells divide and spread. I took myself into a clickhole, fascinated by what I was watching. It was an out-of-body experience listening to doctors talk about it. It was factual, scientific, and to the point. The tears had stopped. As the clicks continued, I found it wasn't the medical explanation I was looking for. It wasn't until I came across a homemade video that brought my jaw dropping to a halt. She lifted her shirt. I saw the drains. She unfastened her surgical bra and peeled away the bandages. I saw the scars. Then it hit me. Up next, I'm pleased to introduce Gloria Shun from Canada. Thank you for joining us tonight.
My crown is vibrant in the white light. Resides all the colors of the rainbow. With each step on Mother Earth, I hold the intention, with attention, of balance and harmony for all, whether animate or inanimate. This fall is special, just like me, and just like you. I will hold my little inner child and all our little inner children in play, in awe, in wonder. As I take autumnal walks in the forest, the reds, oranges, browns, and yellows coexist in harmony, resulting in a vibrant tapestry, and so do we.
Next, I would like to invite Lourdes Harris to the stage. Thank you for joining us tonight.
In the shadow of darkness, I battle unseen, unheard. Cancer, you said? This cruel touch, a relentless and silent one, has come into my temple. Starting today, after hearing those words, my nights and days are devoid of light. My heart, my mind. I wage a war obscure from sight. No hand to hold, no comforting embrace. No, I love you. No, we will be this fight or be okay. All I hear is just whispered prayers in this empty space. In the depths of isolation, many fears in silence cross my mind. I dared not say, I dared not think of what it would be if I pick myself up and fight. I love me. I love you, buddy. In solitude, I become a soldier in the darkness of night, keeping watch. You will be okay, I promise that. I'll bathe the endless night. I walk this path alone. My voice still echoes, a quiet drone. You will be okay, I promise that. For in my struggles, I raise a plea, a cry for awareness for all to see. Again, can you see? Can you please come for me? In this solitude, I scream and cry inside my mind. All I need is listening ears, a shoulder to cry on. Nothing more, nothing less. Someone to tell me you will be okay. In the absence of you, my voice echoes, a quiet drone. You will be okay. I promise that. Cancer knows no boundaries. 1 in 8, it strikes without warning, fulfilling its cruel greed. So let us stand united, hand in hand, to fight this foe. To make a stand, no one deserves to be in solitude. Finally, I'm not alone. SBC brings forth the light, the gentle touch, the love you yearn for, an ear that listens and gives bear hugs. For in solidarity, we find our strength, and together we will go to any length. You will be okay, I promise that. As for you, yes, you, if this cruel six-letter word strike your beloved, be the love, be the warm, and the light in the darkness. Whisper these words. You will be okay. We will be okay. I got your back.
Thank you for sharing that. That was just gorgeous. And we all need to hear, we'll be okay.
So for me, this poem resonates a lot because I lived through a lonely battle from the moment that I was diagnosed. But I also, going through different health fairs and being part of SBC, I have to say that I do see that the lack of knowledge and information that loved ones don't get, but not sometimes because the person that is next to them, their partner, doesn't want to, but because they don't know how. So it is my goal to make that for a caregiver to know how they can help us.
Thank you, Lourdes. Next up, I would like to invite William to the stage.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So this is called Desperation. And actually, it's a terrific response to a poem like we just witnessed from Lourdes. And it begins, have you ever noticed how desperation sucks the oxygen right out of a room and yields a vacuum devoid of space? What then? A noisy projection of anguish, torment, and pain has you sliding softly along the hardwood floor, normalcy but a scant memory, in the moment, self-discussion, giving way to comprehensive dissatisfaction, a benign questioning, a malignancy that shouldn't be there, a radical diffusion, the intermingling of tumor and tissue. Oh, but you do matter. Way too many underestimate the power of purpose, passion, and perspective. In due course, it becomes necessary to distance and separate yourself from those whose inspiration and motivation run contrary to your own. Your life, your contribution to this world matters. You matter.
Thank you for that, William. Another reminder that we need. You matter.
And welcome back to the stage, Evelina.
Yes, I have another one. It's titled The Warrior Cry. And this one was written Monday, September 18, Warrior Cry. Buenas. Well, this morning, I want to talk about the warrior cry. Just a week ago, I heard a radio host say, every soldier needs a warrior cry. And when she said that, it took me back to the first day I met my oncologist. I was so distraught. The news was still fresh to me, and although I knew that God was my healer, Just the thought of what was to come as far as treatment was tearing me up. I think that was probably the first time I ever cried tremendously over my health. In my other two experiences, I just teared up a bit. But this time, my oncologist embraced me, and so did my sister, because it was just too much info for me to handle. Then hearing what people would say to me about chemo doing this and that to you, it all weighed on me. I said to her in my cry, "Thank God my baby doesn't have to watch me suffer. I don't want to be here. I told him something wasn't right," and some other things that I can't remember. But like my doctor said to me the next time she saw me, she said, "You needed to cry. You needed to release it." And she's right, because so often we try so hard to be strong for our family and everyone looking from the outside while we're silently tearing up on the inside. But at times we need to release that battle cry, let it out, and talk to God, then get back up and keep it moving, knowing that God has heard you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So this past Friday, when some of the nurses saw me for the first time, they were so happy. They remembered seeing me crying and broke down in the lobby that day. But now, look at God. He rose me back up and gave me the strength I needed to face this diagnosis like the warrior he created me to be. Everyone is just so amazed that it's even me. I no longer look the same, or am I breaking down at the thought of knowing that it's cancer? I'm just confidently walking in my healing, looking good and feeling better thanks to the American Cancer Society, rocking my wigs thanks to Fabby's, and I'm claiming that I'm cancer-free because I'm ready for the next phase in my life. I keep telling the center that I'm going to be working with them, bringing awareness with my gift one way or another. It's always been a dream of mine, so we'll see what connections I make, but life is so good. I'm going to make it. I had my warrior cry. Now it's time to rejoice because the Lord has promised me that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So friends, keep your head up high and have your warrior cry, but don't stay down, knowing that God is able to do all things exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we think he's capable of doing for us. He's a good God. Take a look in my story, for example. He's simply amazing. Hallelujah. And there's a quote that says, "A warrior will cry in her circumstance, but wipe her tears away and get back up. She is not a slave to bad news because she knows who her Lord is and that he will fulfill his promises." Coming from TrueBeautyMinistries.com. Amen.
Oh, girl, you just delivered that with so much just personality, emotions, and again, it paints the picture of your whole experience. Welcome back to the stage, Julie.
This one is about going through treatment during the pandemic. Because I had to do everything alone. And usually you have somebody go with you. But even my surgeries, I had to be dropped off at the hospital door. Which was probably really scary, but probably the most scary was I couldn't even have anybody come into the hospital for my surgeries. So that's what this one is about. I cry heavy tears in a room where everyone sits alone. Pods of comfortable chairs set up 6 feet apart that holds nothing but patience. Just a sea of bald heads and shaky hands and bad news. We're all there for the same reason. And I wish some stranger would come over and hug me, take my hand and ask, "Is everything okay?" So I can pour out my fears onto their lap, give someone else the weight I've been carrying with me, but they can't. We're all dying in this room, some faster than the others, and it's too risky to come within 6 feet of me. So I hug myself, squeezing my own shoulders, consoling myself, shadows waltzing close behind on the walls surrounding me. like family. Anything to get through this day. Anything to not feel so alone.
Thank you for sharing, Jolie. Alisa, you are next in our queue. Welcome back to the stage, this time with one of your own poems.
Thank you. So this poem, I wrote it as well in the Monday's meditation and journaling with Gloria. It's called Flowing. Within a river of emotions flow, a rushing tide of feelings ever changing. Through joy and sorrow, life's a different course, my compass guided by this constant dragging. No need to grasp, no need to hold them tight, just witness all, a silent, keen observance. What whispers rise from depths of darkness night? What gentle breeze steers in the inner sovereign? Not billions, not borders, these emotions flow. The vibrant tapestry of being human. Acknowledge them and let the stillness grow. Go back to the clouds, to the divine light.
Thank you, Alisa, for sharing your own poetry. Oh my God, you guys, I love how everyone is returning to the stage. Thanks, William, for coming back.
This one is called Waiting for Hercules. It's long been understood that there are no atheists in foxholes. And it follows then that there are also no libertarians in crises, no jokers at a biopsy, no smiling faces telling lies at a most inopportune time, no needy pearl-clutching busybody know-it-alls, no phony sentimentalists promising the glow of natural antiseptics, microorganisms for use to dispel malignancies. It's also understood that cancer, as depicted, an astronomical constellation, has the likeness of a crab crushed under the sandal of Hercules.
That was so powerful. Did you write that poem? Was that one of yours?
Yeah, I wrote a lot of poems, and I get very emotional when I recite them, because typically it's all about Laura and it's all about our community. Yeah. And it's a response to what I hear Thursday nights. A lot of times I don't participate anymore, but I still listen and I still talk to survivors and patients at conferences. And I just take part of what they're going through, and it's really crushing. And I like the spirit. I like the emotion. Everything that we're hearing tonight makes me cry. I'm just a very sentimental guy when it comes to the agony that this lovely community is going through. So again, I think that we wanted to honor Eileen Kaminsky for helping us kick this off. And host that first poetry slam. And Eileen stepped right up. She's no longer with us. She was metastatic. She was on her seventh or eighth line when we first met up with her. And she didn't last long after, but she really contributed to SBC in the form of poetry. And she has her own website. It's called Cancer Bus. I think her husband still maintains it. And my attitude on that is that we don't want to forget those who have gone ahead of us. So, Laura, is there any time left for you to recite one of her last poems?
Of course.
The Memory of Hope by Eileen Kaminsky. My memory of time catches my eye around corners, forgotten in places where dust collects, where I found innocence. Was I ever bereft of compassion, or is it guile? Just kids on the gymnasium floor throwing a sun-sized red ball aiming for black boxes and for the kill. Are we still so cruel? Hit hard and by surprise, I am startled awake to find I am still a child, with more future behind me than past, like the flavor of bubblegum today never lasts. Breathing thoughtlessly of my heart as it beats on, and on sympathy alone, I flee from fright as I fly away using only the wax wings of my will. Hope becomes weary with age, like a favorite pair of shoes, old and full of holes, bereft of usefulness. Yet my path is worn into their soul's memory. Now I have long forgotten my way, yet those battered boots hold me and lead me safely home. Thank you, Eileen. Our next piece is by Al Evitich, read by our host this evening, Delta James.
Thank you for having me. This is very nice.
So this is Sisters by Al. Oh, sweet love, I wish you could see how the colors light up the sky, how the stars above shimmer and glow, how the lightning cracks on the ground below, and the raindrops hit windowsill as the storm brews and creates a show. Oh, sweet love, I wish you knew that all of these things are inside of you. Just look at what you've made it through. Just look at how you glow and roar, and how everyone watches in awe as you pull yourself up once again, refusing to fall and aiming to soar. Oh, sweet love, I wish you could see what you do, because from where I stand, it's such a wonderful view. I wish I could hold your hands and look in your eyes. I wish I could show you I understand with just one look. I wish I could show you that you aren't alone, for as long as you have me, you have a home, a place of solace where you can unpack your heart. Oh, sweet love, I wish you knew this isolation you feel won't last forever. There's a special place you can run for cover. Thousands of hands to hold your broken soul. Thousands of hands to sew your heart together. Thousands of arms to hold you tight and tall. Thousands of hands to reach for when you fall. Oh, sweet love, I know you're filled with fear. You're probably wondering how you got here. You may be asking why, and that's okay. Ask all the questions you need. We're here for you now. A community of women filled with light and hearts like stars that shimmer and glow. Courage that cracks like lightning strikes, and a fierce, unrelenting storm deep within that refuses to give up, dim its light, or quit. Oh, sweet love, I hope you know this poem is written from me to you to tell you that every single word and line you see is a gentle reminder to you from me that you are the light, you are the glow, you are the storm that puts on a show. You are not weak, alone, or defeated. Although sometimes this pain is too much to bear, we are your breast cancer family, and we will always be there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing your poetry this evening and joining us. And for all of you who are tuning in and listening to the podcast, let's go to our final activity.
So just as a recap, we did the Wheel of Names. Everyone got one word to come up with a sentence or phrase to send it to Elisa. And tonight we will conclude with a group poem that we collectively have created.
This journey of life is for the brave of heart. Cancer transformed love into a test, a bar to hit, a threshold to prove depth of feeling. I fight with all my might. I have discovered a sleeping night. I hold my spirits bright. I have entered a tunnel, now searching the light. Where will this new path take us? Make a pact to lift me when I'm down. Trust yourself. You have an inner light that will illuminate your path forward. Our perception shapes focus, which in turn influences decisions and ultimately our happiness. Change guides us, fearless and bold, embracing a new beginning. We have the strength to forge on. We have the strength to face each new dawn. Nurture what you focus on. It blooms. Endurance blooms, resilient, a delicate flower thriving amidst the storm, its petals unwavering in the chilling wind of challenge. The real beauty lies in friendship, in support, and in the sisterhood of SBC, tell cancer to take a hike. We did it. I mean, all of the snaps for us. That was so good.
That was just excellent. I am so glad I joined.
Thank you, Gloria.
Oh, it was just beautiful to see it all and to see some lovely faces that I haven't seen in a while. So, but I'm going to say goodnight. It's 8:32. See you all.
Have a great
evening.
Thank you, Gloria.
Please join Gloria on Mondays. Gloria leads our meditations and writing. Like, she's amazing. She's part of our SBC family. Gloria, thank you so much. I know this means the world to me because this is after hours. So thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to our show. I would like to acknowledge that all of the information on our podcast are from personal experiences and are not a substitute for professional medical advice. You should always contact your medical care team. If you're looking for specific topics or would like to be a guest on our show, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is laura@survivingbreastcancer.org. Until next time, keep on thriving.